speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
Your Bible's open to Jeremiah chapter 18. There is a very interesting section in studying the book of Jeremiah. The Lord allowed Jeremiah to use a number of what we might call practical illustrations to try to teach the children of Israel a lesson. And one of the most interesting is found in Jeremiah chapter 18 and 19 with regards to the subject of the potter and the clay. One of the most valuable lessons is this lesson of the potter and the clay. And there is value in our taking some time to look at this because it's going to draw attention to both God and man and what God wants for man. Very simply this morning, what I'd like to look at is three things in our lesson. I'd like first to look at potter. And in doing so, we want to look at God and His plans. God has plans for man, what He wants him to become, and what kind of life He would like man to live, and the person God wants us to be. Then I would like for us to look at us as the clay, as being able to be molded in God's hands. And when you think about that, there's so much potential in each one of us. We can become great people. We can do great things for God. And there are also problems within us as well. We often fail to live up to God's expectations of us. We often mar in God's hands. And then number three, I would like for us to look at the finished product. Because if you think about the potter sitting at a potter's wheel, and you think about his attempting to fashion a piece of clay into a bowl or to a cup or some other vessel, what you're thinking about is the end product, the finished product that he ends up with. Let's begin, first of all, because I have a lot that I'd like to say this morning. Let's talk about God as the potter. And it's clear from the context here, as we will see in verses 7 through 10, that God's purpose for using this visual aid, if you will, was to teach about his plans for man. God knows exactly what He wants. God knows what He wants the outcome to be. This past summer, when we were working in Vacation Bible School, I was teaching on the prophet Jeremiah. And one of the illustrations that I wanted to use was the potter. And so I went and found this little small potter's wheel. And I got a piece of clay and I thought, I'm going to make a little small bowl out of it. My problem is, I didn't know clearly what I wanted it to look like when I started, and I certainly didn't know what it was going to look like when I finished. But God knows the end from the beginning. He knows what He wants us to look like. He knows what He wants us to be, and the Bible tells us. Our problem is, we often do not appreciate the fact that God, as God, knows so much more than we do, and that God has the ability to look at us and see the future where we cannot. Let me carry it to Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 7. He says, "The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. At the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. If it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it." We've got to put ourselves in understanding the potter's illustration. God is saying, I'm the potter, you're the clay, and when I make a plan that I am going to punish an evil nation, that nation turns around just like we can as individuals. That nation turns around and does what is right. God said, then I won't destroy it. Here's a potter, and he's shaping a piece of clay, and as he tries to shape it, it starts turning out into something he doesn't want. Maybe there's a hard spot in the clay, and so the potter takes and works in a little more of the moisture. and is able to make it pliable then. And now it begins to shape into something good. God said, I can do that. But by the same token, here's something that appears is going to turn out beautiful, but now it's starting to mar in the potter's hand. God says, it's all about my plans. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 and 11. Notice, this is to me, if you don't listen to any other verse, I want you to especially listen to verse 11. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know my thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. God looked at Israel and He's trying to convey to them, I want good for you. God as the potter is trying to shape us into something different. And when God was disciplining them, God was molding them and shaping them, it was all so that He could bring about something good in. You and I need to step back and say, God wants the best for me, and as He is trying to shape me and mold me and make me according to His will, it's so that I can have a future and so that I can have hope. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, Isaiah wrote, for my thoughts, recording the words of God, are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God doesn't reason on our level. God is so far above our thinking and our understanding. God knows more than I do. God knows more than you do. God knows more than all of us put together. He's able to see what we cannot see. I forgot to take verse 9 of chapter 45. He says, woe unto him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? Notice, don't strive with your maker. God knows more than we do. Now, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. In that context, he's talking about God working out His plan to save man through Christ and how God has revealed that. But you and I would not know that except for the fact that God has revealed it to us. Now, man has to realize that sometimes God reveals His plans. Sometimes it's shown. There's other times that we only learn afterwards. We also realize that there are times when God specifically and directly tells us, this is what I want you to do. This is the kind of person I want you to be. I want you to notice Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 8. Paul says, to me, who am less than the least of all saints, was this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages was hidden, or has been hidden, in God who created all things through Jesus Christ. To the intent now that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places. In times past, he says, it was not known. Now it is known. Paul said, it was given to me this privilege of preaching it. The church declares it, shows the manifold wisdom of God. We know God's plan because we read it in the Bible. Let me give you a good illustration. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, Joseph is with his brothers after a number of years have passed. Now Joseph is serving in Pharaoh's court. And his brothers come and they realize now how big of a mistake they made in trying to sell Joseph into slavery. They're fearful that Joseph is now going to somehow mistreat them. But here's the way Joseph responds. But as for you, you meant it for evil against me, But God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. They had one intent, but God was able to overrule that, so He was able to save people alive. That only illustrates that there's a lot of things I may not understand in this life. Joseph's brothers, and I believe even Joseph to some degree, did not understand this until the end. God as a potter is trying to shape us and mold us. Do I always understand? No, but I do understand that the potter knows what he's doing. Micah 6 and verse 8, He has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Micah 6 and verse 8. Deuteronomy 10 verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to love Him, to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes which I command you for your good. These are things that God gave to try to help. But the challenge is for us to try to ascertain what God's plan is for our life. Is this just a mere guessing game? Do I have to wonder somehow as I start studying through the Bible what it is that God wants me to do? How it is that God wants me to live? One of the first things that I believe is so important is for us to understand that God made us for Himself. Now, I want you to think about that. God made us for Himself. If a potter is sitting down at his potter's wheel and he is making a bowl, he's making a cup, he's making a pitcher, for whom does he make it? Himself or to sell to someone else? When God is trying to shape man, why is God shaping us in this way? Because He has a purpose for us, as we will see in Isaiah 43. Number two, God wants us to live different than worldly people do. And He's going to call us to change our lives. And number three, God wants man to love and obey His Son. Let me carry to Isaiah 43 to begin with. This people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. He said, I have formed these people for myself. That's the reason why we're here this morning, to praise God, to sing adoration to God's name, to pray prayers giving God the thanks that He deserves for all that has been done. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. God says, I want you to come out from among the people who live worldly lives, to be separate, to be different. And to go along with that, I want you to listen carefully to 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 and 4. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that each of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. The word vessel there is the word for a piece of pottery. Each of us should know how to possess ourselves. We don't use our vessel for fornication. We don't use our vessel for ungodly things. We use our vessel to serve the Lord. That's God's will for us. John 12, verse 26. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. You go further in Matthew 17:5. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. God is speaking from heaven saying, I want you to follow my Son. Hear him. Listen to him. Romans 8:29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You know, occasionally, a person tries to shape several things in a very similar manner. Let's say, for instance, someone's going to make some plates for you. And here's a potter, and he begins to take the clay. What's he going to try to do if he's going to make you four, five, six clay? He's going to try to make them all as close to the same as they can. God is trying to get us to conform our lives to be like His Son. That's the way He's trying to shape us. Now that's looking at God. Now let's look at us. We're the clay. And it's clear from this passage that the problem is not with the skill of the potter. God knows how to do it. The problem is with the clay. We are the problem, not God. God allows us to choose the way we want to be. He's trying to shape us, but we have input into it. Listen to Ecclesiastes 7:29. Truly, this only I have found, that God made man upright. They have sought out many schemes. The American Standard says they sought out many inventions. God made you good. God made me good. God has tried to shape me into what I ought to be. It's me who's gone wrong, not God. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. And I've gotten to where now I really appreciate the books of 1 and 2 Chronicles. Moreover, the leaders of the priests and the people transgressed more and more, according to all the abomination of the nations, and defiled the house of the Lord which He had consecrated in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them by His messengers, rising up early and sending them, because He had compassion on His people and on His dwelling place. They mocked the messengers of God, despised His words, and scoffed at His prophets, until the wrath of the Lord rose against His people till there was no remedy. Y'all see what's going on here? God is trying to shape Israel. And as God tries to apply the shaping by the prophets, by His messengers, rising up early and sending them, they're mocking them. And they're saying, we don't want to do that. Romans 12, 1-2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. That word conformed, don't be molded like the world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's trying to change me. He's trying to change you. Well, how do I mar in God's hands? If God's trying to shape me and God's trying to fashion me, what is it that I do that mars in His hands? The Lord God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that He had made man on the earth, and He was grieved in His heart. And so the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. This past summer, when I was trying to fashion something for the little kids in the VBS, I found myself quite often dealing with some very hard clay, and I'd have to soak it in water to try to soften it up. And the problem was, is there was a time or two that I just took the ball of clay, watered it up, put it back in the bag, and left. And God tried to fashion man, and what man did said, I want to do things my way. In Jeremiah 7:31, and they built high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the sons of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it come into my heart. God said, I never even thought about this. Problem is when man doesn't even do what God thinks about. Psalm 78:10, they did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in His law. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the old way and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk in it. And then you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. You see a pattern develop here? It's God trying to shape man, and whenever man says, no, I don't want to do that, that's when he mars in God's hands. The clay can always be reshaped if it remains pliable. If you can still move it and shape it, it's going to do fine. As long as man will allow himself to be shaped by God's Word, he is salvageable. That's what verses 7 through 10 of Jeremiah 18 was all about. As long as I can be shaped by God and I'm pliable and I'm willing to bend as I read and I study His Word, then I am salvageable. However, when man becomes hardened in his will, he will break before he will shape. You can take a piece of clay that's hardened and you try to shape it, and it'll break. We've got to remain pliable. Hebrews 3:13 says, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Sin has a way of hardening us. We've got to keep our hearts tender and remain pliable. And very quickly, the finished product. I want to be a worthy vessel to serve God. I want to be a vessel of honor. In 2 Timothy 2, 20 and 21, if one becomes an unworthy vessel, God will break him. I want to use these last two verses with you. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, says, "But in a great house there is not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, and some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, and prepared for every good work." In every house, he says, you've got these different kinds of vessels. They're made out of different materials. Some are honorable, some are dishonorable. But what you have to do, you have to cleanse yourself of the dishonor in order to be an honorable vessel. Are you an honorable vessel? If you were to look at your life right now, are you what God wants you to be? Now going back to Jeremiah 19, the context goes all the way through Jeremiah 18 on into chapter 19. Very quickly, verses 1 through 3, he says, "Thus says the Lord, get to the potter's earthen flask and take some of the elders of the people and some of the elders of the priests, and go out to the valley of the sons of Hinnom, which is by the potsherd gate, and proclaim there the words that I will tell you." Now, God says you go out there, and He says, "I'm going to make their ears tingle." The word tingle is like when you throw down a piece of pottery and it breaks, and that ching sound that it makes. That's the word, the tingle. You drop down to verses 10 through 12. And he tells them while that he is there with them, he says, "Then you shall break the vessel in the sight of the men who go with you, and say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, even so I will break this people and this city as one breaks a potter's vessel, which cannot be made whole again. And they shall bury them in Tophet till there is no place to bury. Thus I will do to this place, says the Lord, and to its inhabitants, and make this city like Tophet." God said, "Jeremiah, I want you to show this people what happens when you break pottery. Becomes hard, no longer valuable. Just break it and get rid of it." Are you that kind of person? Is your life disposable in hell because you have no service to God? Are you allowing God to mold you and shape you by His Word? We sang that song just a few minutes ago. I asked Leonard Wednesday night if he would lead that song. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me according to thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, are you fulfilling God's plan for your life? Really, the whole sermon about the potter and the clay is what God wants me to be. Are you a Christian? Have you yet obeyed the gospel? If you've not, you're not fulfilling what God has in the plans for your life. 1 Timothy 2:4 says God would have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3:9 says He's not willing that any should perish. God's will for you is that you live and survive eternally. You can make changes in your life now. You can correct them now. If you need to become a Christian through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism,